Hi and welcome to Global Dog Activities Podcast. Today I'm joined by Trish Mahon and she's from Dog in the House in West Yorkshire. Her topic is man training. Hi Trish, how are you?
Hi Helen, I'm good.
Great, okay, so over to you. Please tell me more about man training.
Okay, so man training is, it's basically your dog is following human scent. So we have a trail layer, who is our missing person. They will lay a trail, which is just traveling a distance through whatever environment we decide to trail through. Your dog follows that scent, finds their person, and that's a huge reward for the dog, but they will get a food reward or a toy reward at that stage to build the interest and the focus on the game. So I'm an instructor with Man Trailing UK, and that instruction is, we do a 1 week residential course and have a very tough exam at the end of it. the night before the exam is nerve-wracking. So we're on that course, we all work our own dogs, we practice laying trails, we practice handling, we practice coaching, and we're lucky enough to graduate. We go on to take this out for pet dogs. So there's a system, we work to a method called the Cocker method, and it's from an instructor in the United States, Kevin Cocker, and he has developed this method. So every start will be a certain ritual that ourselves as handlers and the dogs understand. And it's a really lovely sport for reactive dogs, because for both dog and handler, if you have a reactive dog, you are always on the end of that lead saying, what's going to happen? How are we going to manage? And you get very involved with your dog. Whereas in man trailing, and your dog will look to you a lot because you're giving off signals. In man trailing, the expectation is from you as a handler that your dog will succeed. So they are given a scented item that the missing person leaves, and then they trail that person, find them, and we have a party. So it's the handler is able to watch their dog work, improve their knowledge of their dog's body language and their capabilities. The dog will problem solve for themselves. They will make decisions. They'll gain in confidence, and they'll ultimately find their missing person. So it's all part of that lovely prey sequence. And we have a starting ritual, which is, everybody understands what that is. The dogs are worked one at a time, so fantastic for reactive dogs. And those the dogs will wait in the car in between trails. So one dog will trail, you might have four other participants whose dogs are all in the car while that dog is trailing, but those handlers get to watch as spectators and increase their knowledge and their skill. So that I have a reactive Mally, and for her, meeting people in this way is really beneficial. So she follows her missing person, she finds them. The reward sequence for her is quite brief because she doesn't want the interaction, but she chooses that interaction because it's part of the game. So it has increased her positive feelings about people. And that's been lovely. And an example of that is yesterday she was trailing, and the trail layer, she's followed her a few times, so she's known to her. He threw her toy for her a few times after the session, after she'd found her as we walked back to the car. And Maddie took the toy twice, and I know that this is the magic number, that Maddie will tolerate that interaction twice. And then I know it doesn't really work. And as I was getting ready to intercept before there was a third throw, the trail layer threw the toy. And Maddie just curved over towards her and walked away. And the information was so clear. I'm done. I've had enough. But it was done really nicely and calmly. And that improvement has come around from her mantling. Because prior to that, it might have been a snark. So the confidence that they build up and their ability to produce body language in a calm way, I think that's just amazing. I have a couple of reactive dog clients who have, I'm actually seeing more of a benefit for them working through man trailing than us applying other methods that, you know, Helen, that we all use with reactive dogs. Confidence that happens with the handler and the dog is really fantastic to see. And that they know that they're in an environment where everybody understands. If they're told, well, this is a reactive dog, everybody understands how they have to behave around this dog. And it's a very safe environment, but there's learning taking place. So I did an introduction with Maddie, and I remember at that stage being so nervous of her finding the person. How would she feel? Am I pushing her? Is it too much? And it just worked beautifully. So that was it. I did a follow-on session, and then I signed up to become an instructor.
I think working backwards from what you've just said is really interesting, because I've basically come away from doing behaviour work now. I do a little bit, but not nowhere near as much as I used to. And now, if I get a client coming through who's got a reactive dog, obviously I still get inquiries for behaviour work. But now what I say is, well, look, you know, come and teach them something else. Come and have some fun with your dog. Come and learn in a safe environment, whether it's Hoopers or Rally, or I do tracking and I do scent work. So, you know, if it's anything like that. And what it gives the owner, the handler, the guardian, whichever term you want to use, it gives them an opportunity to let their hair down in a safe environment and to come away from worrying and stressing about, oh my goodness, my dog's reactive, it's going to have a go at everything. You know, and that's all they can think of, that's all that's in their mindset. And it takes that away just for that hour, you know, while they've got them, and then they can have some fun with their dogs and learn something different. And it's so beneficial. The dogs are then not being put under any pressure to behave, you know, in a certain way. Yeah. We're not, you know, obviously there are lots of tricks and training things that you can do for behavior work, but this is purely switching, putting it aside, say, come on, let's train something completely different. And I have found that the dogs are really benefiting, the owners are benefiting, the family members are benefiting. That has to be a good way. And it also gives the owner more tools into their, you know, into their toolbox as to what they can use when the dog does become or be put in a situation where it would normally have reacted. They can now use other tools, and they can also use different terms and different cues that they've now learned for other things. Rally in particular, there's an awful lot of behaviour work. They actually use rally moves, but they probably don't even know that they're rally moves. But they are rally moves, and you know, and they're already using them. So it does show that if you use a sport, it can definitely help. So very interesting that man trailing, you know, is the same thing. It's allowing the dogs to hone in and to really focus on something and almost forget about the outside world for that time. So yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, it is. And I think sometimes when I know working with reactive dogs, we are sometimes bringing really bad news to these owners. You know, I don't want you to do walks for a little while. Let's decompress. And in the absence of doing walks, which, let's face it, most dog owners, that's their thing. They do the dog walk and they feel very compelled to do it. In the absence of that, what do they have? And I think in a way we do enrichment and brain training and all of these things, but when a dog walker an owner has been used to doing these walks and wants to be outside, and it's very often the reason they got a dog in the first place, you know, we're going to enjoy these walks, it's lovely to get out there and participate in something that gets you outdoors. You know, wind and rain is not going to stop us. We'll still be man trailing. And it also, one really lovely aspect of it is the absence of that verbalization that happens all the time through anxiety with reactive dog owners. You know, they will soothe and they will talk and they'll say, it's okay, we're going to walk by. And they just get to, you know, hold that long line and support their dog. And I think that word is really important in it, that they really do support their dog. They're trusting their dog to follow that trail. So it's, I love watching that aspect of it.
Yeah, which again, if you take the reactive side of things, we are very much trying to help the dogs and to control is a funny word, but I'll just sling it in there, but control the dog while it's having a reactive moment. But obviously with man trailing, tracking, scent work, things like that, the owner, once, you know, obviously you are teaching the dog as well, but you're taking a step back and you are relying on the dog. If you don't know that man trailing route, you don't know where that person has gone, your trust in the dog is going in that direction. And it's very freeing. It's an odd thing, isn't it? The first time you let your dog do some tracking, it's a very odd thing because now you're going, actually, I don't know where on earth I'm going. I just have to follow the dog. And it puts you totally into the mindset of the dog as well. So what sort of equipment do you need for man trailing?
Well, you will need, going back to that weather and rain, you will need really good outdoor clothes for yourself. Good sturdy boots, rainwear. Gloves are advisable, especially yesterday I forgot mine. I have a little bit of rope burn today. But initially some people will start with, you have to trail in a harness. So some people will start with a harness they already have. And that's okay for an introductory session. And you will also need a long line. Your dog is in a harness so that they're free to work without any pressure on their neck. And as part of the ritual, they will come out of their car in their regular, say, a flat collar and a lead, and they will change into their harness. So that's their uniform and they're going to start working. And that's a big cue to that dog. Oh, we're going man trailing now. They have been cued several cues back, you know. Maddie always knows she's going if she's the only dog in the car. So your dog, very quickly, people get the bug and they will progress to the higher end harness. You know, you're looking at £100 possibly for, say, the harness that Maddie wears. It has a really good heft plate because she will lean into that harness and I want to protect that area of her body. So your long line, your harness, good outdoor clothes for yourself, and you're away.
Good to hear, because if you take up some of the other sports, the list of things you require, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Agility, prime example. You know, you can't do agility unless you've got equipment at home or you go to the training ground. You know, that's it. And the agility equipment is so bulky. And this is why I like hoopers, to be honest, because it's lightweight, easy stuff.
Absolutely.
But man training, you could literally stick a harness and a long line in your backpack, and you could start man trailing halfway round a moor or something like that, couldn't you? You don't have to do it from, you know, a particular trainer's ground. You know, you can do it anywhere.
Yeah. You'll be always having to have your partner to, you know, you'll need your trail layer. Yeah. What would regularly happen is after somebody does an introductory session and they learn how this works for themselves and their dog, they will then sign up and do a group session maybe once a week and meet up socially and the supported and assisted by the instructor. And that's important. You don't want people going off and adding things in that will perhaps confuse the dog. That initial support is needed. And then there are progressions. You can do more difficult trails. You can add in environment issues that the dogs will deal with. Yesterday, for example, we had an awful lot of high wind and we were trailing in an industrial estate. So where I was seeing a trail layer go on the right-hand side, the wind was taking the scent over to the left-hand side. So you could see the dogs figuring this out. And you learn all of those aspects of it while you're trailing. So if you want to do the progression end of things and get better and understand it more and take your dog through harder trails, you will be going out and buying a good harness.
Okay, so what about who can actually do this? Who can do the man trailing?
That's the beauty of it. Everybody. I haven't had experience of trailing a dog who has physical limitations yet, but a lot of the instructors have worked with deaf dogs, blind dogs, amputees, dogs coming back from, say, I've worked with one dog who has retired from agility because he's 11 years old and he's at that stage where he wants something slower for his body. And so the transition to man trailing gives him his brain training and his sport, if you like, but it's at a more controlled pace. Puppies can start, you know, when we speak initially about puppies man trailing, you know, people will say, well, wow, how would a puppy do it? Well, they're doing it from day one when they go to the mama's teat. They know exactly what they're doing scent-wise. So very nice for puppies to do because it's a sport with them and their handler, but they are out and you can choose for them to meet other dogs if you want, but it can be a one-to-one session for a dog. And you can have short trails for a dog who's learning and who has just the capacity for that amount of attention. So any dog can man trail.
Temperament of the dog, is that, you were talking about reactivity, and I totally get that one. Coming away from that, would you think that a dog that was quite shy and reserved would also benefit from man trailing?
Yes, I do, because the confidence building aspect of it, for a dog to actually complete a trail, to work out factors along that trail, am I on the trail, to use their nose, and to have all of that hormonal input from serotonin and all of those calming factors, that's really positive for that dog. We all know from brain training and how popular it's become amongst behaviorists and trainers now, how beneficial it is. And that's what man trailing gives those dogs. So for a shy dog, an instructor will support that handler and dog, and will do a trail where there will be success, that the reward is applicable to that dog, that it's maybe a quieter reward than, say, some of the dogs who want balls thrown and a big party. So you can change the environment, you can change the end of the sequence, you can have a reward applicable to a dog and they come away happy and they've done what they wanted to do, supported in every way in the environment and with their handler.
About the rewards there, I'm guessing food, toys and fuss, they're the three main ones, aren't they, really? Party time.
The food, we deliver the food in a container always, so actually that needs to be on your equipment list too. You will build a collection of plastic containers that's just ridiculous because you'll always find one that opens differently and, oh, this one looks better. And I learned very quickly Maddie needs quite a big container because she's not going to delicately take food out of a small container. So your food is your missing person delivers the food in a container, and you can manipulate that to suit whatever the dog wants. When I started initially with Maddie, the instruction for my tray layer was just don't lean over her, just don't do drawn out eye contact, and put the container to the side of your body so that she didn't have to do a front position. She could take the food at the side. She wasn't terribly food motivated, so the ball was there as a backup, but I didn't want the ball in the picture initially because I wanted to see if she would take the food, and she has consistently enjoyed the food. We use wet food as well, so they go through that licking sequence of the whole prey drive. They stay in position with their missing person for a while and take on the food. I'm not at the stage where with Maddie, say, that she would find her trail layer, her missing person, and they would give her a toy, because as you know, Helen, a Mallee's mouth is different. And toy delivery to her has to be very specific. So we're not at that stage, but I produce the toy.
And is there any reason for using anything like an e-collar, prong collar, anything?
I've lost your sound there, Helen.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, got you back.
Got me? Okay. So is there any reason for using any sort of aversives, like an e-collar or a prong collar? Is there any reason why you people would need to use that type of equipment?
No, never. And in fact, I can't see how it would even come up as an option, because there's no state of setting up this man trailing session where I think anybody would come in and say, oh, I need some kind of control over my dog that is more than an invitation to man trail. So I can't even see, even if somebody was using those devices in some kind of other training, I can't see how they would think that it was applicable. There's a huge trust between you and your dog. You are guiding and supporting, but you're not involved in manipulating the outcome as such. Your dog will trail and find their person. So no, and it's actually the start of every single session that I've been at or taught has been the absence of any kind of correction is really nice.
Okay, that's good. How did you get involved with man trailing at the start? What sort of brought you to it?
I was doing disc dog with Maddie at the time, and she was having a few soft tissue injuries, and I was looking for something else, and somebody was running the introductory course about 45 minutes away from me, so I signed up for that. Went along, as I said, nervous, because she's a bit of a twitchy dog, and it worked so brilliantly. And you know that sleep, Helen, when your dog has worked and you drive home and you don't see their head pop up at the back of the car at all, and it's just conked out from the effort of using their brain and problem solving. So yeah, that was it.
So how can people get in touch with you? What's the best way to get hold of you?
So we have a Man Trailing UK Facebook page, and wherever you are in the country, you will find an instructor. The number of instructors is growing every month as new people come on board. So you look up your area and you will find somebody who is offering man trailing. For myself, I am not limited to West Yorkshire. I will travel. And in fact, I'm hoping to take man trailing as soon as our travel restrictions become a little bit more clear. I'm hoping to take man trailing to Ireland, because currently nobody is doing it there. And I have a lot of people on a waiting list already, so that'll be great fun.
Well, that's been absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much, Trish, for today. That's just been amazing. I think we'll get you back. And there's a few other things I want to talk to you about. So I think I might talk to you about picking up about another couple of subjects. So thank you
very much today. Thanks, Alan.
That's okay. And this podcast will be available on all the usual sites like Spotify, etc. So go to Global Dog Activities Podcast on Facebook too. Thank you very much, everybody. Bye.